Welcome to Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman, where the discussion is about the challenges and opportunities that people face when communicating with the opposite gender. Brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now here's your host, Judy Hoberman.
Good afternoon and happy Monday. You know, I look forward every week to spending our lunch hour together on Selling in a Skirt on Tough Talk Radio. Last week we talked about having plans for the rest of this year and into next year, but I was trying to think about what most entrepreneurs are feeling at this time of year, and I realized it's the same thing we think of every year. How can we add some additional revenue to our bottom line when everyone knows you can't sell now because it's the end of the year, while at the same time realizing that money is a factor in gift giving and looking your perfect best for the season? And that's our topic for today. How can we use the remaining 7 weeks to our advantage without spending a fortune on marketing or feeling like we have to be perfect before we start? So here's the deal. If you seriously believe that there is no more revenue to bring in because of the holidays are fast approaching, then I say you're setting yourself up for failure. When I was at the height of my sales career in insurance, my manager told me that July was the worst month of the year for sales because everyone took a vacation, only to be followed up by this time of year between mid-November and New Year's. After all, who's going to buy insurance at that time of year? Now, I want to tell you that my strongest months were those times. And obviously, many of the salespeople believe that nonsense, and I'm going to give you some ideas that, if done right, the next 7 weeks can be extremely profitable and not only end your year on a high note, but begin 2015 ready to rock and roll. You know, sales is all about relationships, and what better time to build them during a time of year when most people are feeling goodwill towards everyone. Now, I'm sure you've heard that 80% of business comes from 20% of your customers. And it's easy to work with that 20%, especially when you have built and nurtured a relationship with them. But what about that other 80%? Why not start at the very bottom of your list and call on that other 80%? Bet you find interest from customers that haven't been buying anything from you in a while. You know, things change, circumstances change, and it's worth the time and the effort. When I was selling insurance, I would call and offer to do a policy review. It was amazing how many people didn't know some of the products I offered. And yes, I had sent them information because we all know how many emails we all receive. It just may be possible that for some reason, either they didn't see my email, they didn't read my information, or perhaps it wasn't what they needed at that time. Also, there may have been a new baby or a change in marital status or anything that may have needed an update. You have a gold mine in your database, and you just need to work it. And while you're at it, why not clean it out and clean out that mailing list? In fact, all those business cards that are sitting on your desk, why not enter them all? You know, I see them, and yes, I have them as well. How about if you look and see who needs to be called and pick up the phone? It's amazing how many things happen when you actually speak to someone. You know, when you're in business, there are only two words that make sense during the decision time, yes and no. So where did maybe come in? Go back through everyone that didn't make a definite decision, you know, all the maybes, and see how many of those you can turn into a decision. A no is much better than a maybe and allows you to move on. I reached out the other day to three potential clients that had shown interest and then, you know, crickets, nothing. I just booked two of them for 2015, so it's not bad for some of those maybes. And as I said, building relationship is key. People do business with those they like and trust, and that begins with relationships. So why not attend some of those events where your target clients are hanging out and get your name and face in front of them? No pressure, no sales, just building relationships when you have some downtime. You're laying the foundation for future business. But remember, businesses don't do business, people do. So you really need some ideas that will drum up revenue. So let me give you some super strategies. The only problem is that you have to actually do them. And I say that because it's great to hear ideas, but if you aren't implementing them, it's just an idea. And trust me, I'm as guilty as the next person, but these will work if you do them. First, why don't you write some warm letters to announce your business to people that you know and make them an offer of maybe a strategy session. And this is sent to everyone you know, even if you don't have a great big list. Second, why don't you tell people that you're offering to do a small session for business to drum up business for the end of the year, maybe just a little group get-together. Third, why don't you follow up on some of your old leads? And fourth, make a new offer to your already existing clients. You already have a relationship with them. They're more eager to do business with you when you already have that relationship in place. And last, send an email blast to your whole entire email list, how about a special promotion? This is the time people look for promotion. Now, I saw one on Facebook this morning that said, starting today, my holiday sale is on. For the next 72 hours only, you'll save 40% on any of my award-winning products for business and personal success. So imagine some of the cash that you can be rolling in because this person is giving you a limited offer, but a nice savings. As you can see, it still is all about the plan. So if you make your plan today and decide how the end of the year is going to be for you, you can implement something and make things happen. Or you can do nothing, and in 7 weeks you can say, I couldn't sell because it was the end of the year. Now, every business, no matter how large or small, has a sales process. And some are longer than others, and some may require a few steps. But if nothing else, you have to make sure that you're super organized, even if you're not technologically savvy. You have to make sure that you don't lose anybody as they fall through the cracks. So let me give you some ideas about how to track people, especially for those that aren't savvy with technology, and you're listening to one of them right now. You want to be able to set some sales goals for your business. Don't overthink it or make it too complicated. It's a goal, and then track it. Now, what's the sense of making a goal if you don't know if you've met it or if you fell short or if you exceeded it? You want to keep it simple. And one way to do that is to use an Excel spreadsheet. Now, I do this with my mastermind group, and this is done every quarter. We each have a list of 5 areas that we want to track. So right now, we're in the October through December time quarter. Sounds like holiday tracking, right? So we use 3 colors. Green means you worked on the goal and you made progress. Yellow means you worked on the goal and you didn't make any progress because it might be out of your control. And red means you didn't do anything. So you can see where this is going. Next to each goal are columns with weekly dates. And before our calls, we have to fill in the week with green, yellow, or red. And the first week, we each give ourselves green because we're working on the goals. And no one has had all green since. And let me tell you, when the yellows are popping up, it's not fun. But red, no one wants to see red for more than a week. It's visual, it's powerful, and it's simple. And you want to make sure you keep it simple because if you don't, you won't use it. Now, you already may have a tracking system. You may be looking at investing in one, or you may be really old-fashioned and do it manually. Just do something. Make sure you do something. I'm not telling you it's going to be easy. I'm telling you it's going to be worth it. The truth of the matter is that you don't have to do anything, and you can fall into the same trap as millions of other business owners. And not sure if you will still be in business in 2015. You don't have to be perfect because no one is. And if you were, there'd be no place to go but down. There isn't anything better than perfection now, is there? So think about one thing you can do to end your year on a high note. Just one. When we come back, you'll hear from my first expert who knows a thing or two about creating movement for the end of the year. This is Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoverman on Tough Talk Radio, and we will be right back.
If you know someone who wants the legal A-team on their side, have them call on Altenburn & Associates, the Legal Eagle, today. David Altenburn is an experienced and recognized top lawyer in Houston who will put an eagle's eye to protecting the client's best interests at all times. For any personal injury, family law, or business law concern, Altenburn & Associates can help with our connections that count and make a difference for great results. We work hard for the justice our clients deserve, earning client trust and opponent respect, one case at a time. For legal help, call 281-904-6330 today.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
Are you an entrepreneur? Are you where you want to be? Do you believe that if you build it, they will come? Unfortunately, entrepreneurship doesn't work that way, and that's why you need to read Famous Isn't Enough. In this book, you'll find real-life situations and lessons learned. When all is said and done, there's nothing better than being your own boss. Remember, nothing just happens. You have to put in the work. Famous Isn't Enough is your roadmap. Get your copy today at www.famousisn'tenough.com.
Welcome back to Sewing in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on Tough Talk Radio. Now remember, you can join our discussion by calling in to 347-989-1363 and press 1 and we will get you right on the show. Okay, so let's bring in my first guest, Dr. Minette Briarden. She's an award-winning entrepreneur, a business coach, an author, and a speaker. She's the co-author of the book From Fizzle to Sizzle, Four Crucial Tools for Relationship Repair, which was published in 2012. Prior to becoming a business coach, Minette built a successful six-figure multimedia publishing company in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, growing a small quarterly newspaper to a monthly magazine with a circulation of 50,000 copies per month. After 11 years in the publishing industry, she sold her business and relocated to sunny Santa Barbara, California, with her husband and her two children. She now spends her time helping her clients to build profitable businesses so that they can enjoy life, a community volunteer, and a networking aficionado. Minette, welcome to the show. I am very excited to have you here.
I am so excited to be here, Judy. Thanks for having me today.
This is going to be so much fun, and I want to jump right in because I have so many things I want to talk about. So are you ready?
I'm ready. I was madly scribbling notes during your opening introduction, so such great
awesome.
Content already shared, so thank you for that.
You're so welcome. Okay, so as a coach, we always hear lots of crazy ideas and even crazier ways to make them sound reasonable. So what would you say when someone tells you that they're going to wait till January because there isn't any more business to write? You know, the holidays are almost here and there's nothing I can do. What would you tell them? Because we hear this all the time.
So the first question I would ask them is, how committed are you to your own business success? Because to me, that waiting till January or even waiting till next month or, you know, that waiting conversation has to do, I think, with fear, discomfort. You know, if the truth is they want to take the time off and spend it with their family and they don't need the business, fabulous. But most of the coaches I know and that I work with need the income in November and December just as much as they do in January. So for me, that waiting is lack of belief in themselves that they can actually make money in December.
Right. So, but couldn't we argue that there's a holiday in almost every month? And so, you know, maybe the question really is, how committed are you no matter what month it is?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. There is a holiday in every month. And I think it's a mindset shift. You know, when I think about the problems that people are experiencing during the holidays, we have to shift our business to match what people's problems are, right? That's the, you know, I loved what you said about selling being all about building relationships, but selling is also about understanding what the problems are that you're best at solving for someone. And our problems shift in the holidays. And so I think where coaches get stuck is not realizing that they have all the skills they need to help people manage the craziness and overwhelm during the holidays.
Right, absolutely. So let's say, okay, I'm your client and I've decided, okay, enough of this. I'm not going to not do business. And I decide I'm going to do some marketing and get myself out there. What are some tips that you might have for this time of year when somebody really wants to do something, but they have zero marketing budget left or they've never had a marketing budget, they just need to do something. And we want them to do something. So what would you tell them?
So there's a couple of things. First, I would want to know if they had a email list. Your tip of, you know, selling to their list is great. So I'd want to know that ahead of time. And if they didn't have an email list and they were trying to generate some buzz, I would send them to social media and put a simple strategy in place for generating buzz on social media. So many of us, especially women coaches, can still have a lot of success despite the statistics on Facebook right now. And creating a Facebook event is super simple, it's free, and it can generate some of that buzz you're looking for. So that would be one thing. The other thing I think that you said already is picking up the telephone and calling. I'm sure you have done lots of calls and conversations, and women seem, at least my clients seem to have a lot of trepidation when it comes to just picking up the phone and calling someone and make an offer. But if you want to get someone's attention during this very busy time of the year, you are going to have to be really proactive, and picking up the phone and calling someone doesn't cost a dime.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think that, you know, picking up the phone is a scary thought for most people. And so I used to tell my clients, you know, just make a list and don't skip anyone. It doesn't matter if, you know, the most crazy person that you want to talk to who is way above your level that's in your mind is number one on the list, just call us. Because what's the worst that's going to happen? They're going to say no.
Mm-hmm.
That's the worst, you know.
And these days, okay. The truth is we don't often get to actually talk to anybody live anyway, right? So
absolutely.
Most of the time you're leaving a message.
Absolutely. Okay, so, you know, when I was checking you out, you know, I always check people out. You say
mm-hmm.
that you work with people who struggle with creating a fun and effective marketing plan that's a match for their personality and their lifestyle. Is there really a system that can match your marketing to your personality?
Absolutely. There's a couple of different ones. You know, so I tend to work with a lot of really highly creative entrepreneurs who are struggling with too many ideas and don't know how to focus on one long enough to actually monetize it. So the truth is that we're not all going to be great at public speaking. We're not all going to be great at networking, even if we choose to use them as part of our arsenal. But maybe we're brilliant at photography and creating inspirational quotes and getting people to follow us on Instagram. There's a business here locally in Santa Barbara Gift Baskets. It's amazing how much buzz and business she's gotten just from being on Instagram. So there's really a way to take those creative talents that we all have and channel them into marketing tactics that are more of a match. And we're not all going to be good at everything, and I also believe that it's really easy with social media to have this kind of false idea that we can completely market our business for free. So I do think that we have to invest time, energy, and at some point some cash in making that happen, but that we can be really selective in the type of marketing that we do based on who it is that we're trying to reach and how it's most fun and effective for us to reach them. I personally love public speaking. I know you do a lot of public speaking as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's a natural
mm-hmm.
fit for me. I have a graphic designer who would, like, faint if she had to go up on stage. She really struggles even just to do a 30-second commercial. So being a designer, we were able to create some different strategies that made it more fun and more meaningful for her to reach out to people in a different way that didn't make her faint or feel like she had to have a glass of wine before she could stand up and do her 30-second commercial. So it is finding those matches. As you know, the opportunities for marketing are really limitless today, you know, with the advent of the internet. So both between in-person, you know, strategies of just getting out and getting face-to-face with people and all the different online strategies, we can't possibly do them all. So we have to pick the ones that are fun for us because then we'll actually stick to them. And I really loved your idea of the Excel spreadsheet and that green, yellow, and red. Like just visualizing that myself was so impactful, right? And what I find with a lot of coaches is their biggest challenge is just not being consistent in their marketing. And something visual like that is so helpful to them, and they're more likely to stick to it when it's visual and it feels fun and not like it's pulling teeth for them. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And here's the thing, you know, it's not just that I see the green, yellow, or red. You have to send it to the mastermind group. Now, you know, and we've been together for years. But when you press send and you know that they're going to see a yellow or a red there, you're just like, I can't, only 1 week because now I have to get back on track. So it's a really good visual, but it's also a really good accountability partner.
Mm-hmm. And accountability, in my perspective and experience, is really the key to selling success at any level of business. That a lot of entrepreneurs really struggle, especially if they came from corporate where they had a lot of structure, into all of a sudden having no structure and no deadlines and nobody asking for any of them. So, you know, anything of them, it can be really challenging, and people tend to let their money-making actions fall to the bottom of their list because they're not as much fun as serving their clients or creating, you know, copy for their website or designing a new product or writing a blog post. You know, those things are pretty easy and painless, you know, for most people, and so then they are not putting themselves out there asking for the money, which is what we all need to do to be successful in our business.
Right. So let's talk about money. We always hear that, you know, you don't really earn anything for 5 years when you're starting a business because you keep putting money back into the business. But as an entrepreneur, isn't consistent income really important? Because can it destroy a business if there's no money coming in? And on top of that, you can be making money, but you're also not profitable. So
mm-hmm.
how do you discuss money with entrepreneurs and doing something that is consistent?
So great question. And I think it varies a lot by business. So I was one of those business owners that put everything I made back into the business and didn't show a profit, made so many mistakes with my publishing company from that perspective. of not really understanding how to manage all of those financial details. So I think one thing is understanding the financial details. Most entrepreneurs, especially if they're small solopreneurs who are working from home, they need the cash to survive. So they may be less likely to be investing it in their business. And the scariest part for them is they tend to get on that money roller coaster. If they're not marketing consistently, then they're also not consistently bringing in clients, which sends them into fear and desperation and panic. And that's not a healthy place to sell from or try to build relationships from. You know, people can smell that, I think, a mile away. And so how you have that conversation around money, in my opinion, is helping people get really clear about what their goals are and helping them understand exactly how many clients they need to meet their financial goals, and then helping them figure out a strategy to go find those clients. I find that people don't even know how many clients they need on a monthly basis, especially coaches, to actually make their financial goals. And I work with a lot of clients who are trading time for dollars. I don't know about you, Judy, but that market is, you know, people really have to understand how to price and package their services in a way that is not going to have them constantly be selling, but being able to serve their clients to the highest good.
Absolutely. So it's really important to be clear about your goals and clear about your pricing and clear about everything, true?
Mm-hmm. And their expenses, right? Both their, you know, they may be paying attention to what's coming in, but they're letting a lot of it flow out. You know, I was great at that. It's like, oh, I'm going to go invest in some new people, more sales staff, or this new program over here, and, you know, making decisions from a gut place rather than a financial place, you know. And when I made that mental shift to really understanding what the important numbers in my business were that I needed to pay attention to, then we were making money, right? So, but most of us don't know that. I was a school teacher in my past life, you know. What did I know about managing money, especially six figures, right, coming in? And it took a really awesome accountant to tell me to put my big old pants on and that I needed to do my business differently, and I'm still so grateful for her. It was a huge turning point because I was having fun. And Judy, for me, what I realized 5 years in is I was just running a hobby business. It was making a lot of money, but I wasn't. It was still just a hobby business. And I needed a big mindset shift, and I needed to be all in and fully committed to actually building a business, not just a hobby that was a lot of fun for me.
Right. Well, you know, we know that women are much better at investing in themselves as long as it's after everyone else is taken care of.
Right.
So how important is it for women to invest in themselves, like having a coach? Because I remember the very first thing I did was I hired a business coach. Whether I had money or I didn't have money, it didn't matter. I had to have a business coach that would at least keep me on track or pull out the, you know, your full of it card or tell me how amazing I was. Something, somebody that was doing something that was objective towards me and my company.
I think it's crucially important for people to invest in continuing business education. You know, I'm a big fan of Michael Gerber's book, The E-Myth, right? We're all technicians. We're good at something. We're not good at everything. And most of us aren't going into business because we're great at the financial piece, unless we happen to be in a financially focused business. But most of us are called to be of service and to help people in some way. And so we do need help. And I loved what you said. So we need help on multiple levels. We need help understanding what are the actions that we need to take to grow. We need someone to hold us accountable. We need someone to remind us how great we are when we get really down on ourselves. And we need someone sometimes to give us a kick in the pants and say, look, 3 months ago you said this was your goal, and I'm not seeing any activity that you're taking to move yourself towards that goal. Do we need to course correct? So for me personally, coaching has been invaluable. I tripled my income this year because I did invest at a higher level in a coach that really got my business and could really help me grow. And I don't think I would have been able to do that by myself. So I'm a big fan of being coached.
Awesome. So how are women affected by your business?
By my business personally?
Yes.
So the work that I've been doing for the last year and a half, I have helped women go from having not even a business idea to having a business in place and making their first sale. I've helped one woman increase her income over 100% this year. I had another one double her income in 30 days because we put some simple techniques in place, one of which was her just picking up the phone and calling people. It's amazing how much cash you can generate doing that and how much we all struggle with it, me included. I'm not saying that I still find it really easy to pick the phone up and make those calls. But I think more than anything, what I've been able to really help women with is that piece around clarity, helping them get super, super clear about why they're in business, How are they being called to serve? Who are they being called to serve? And where are those people hanging out so that we can easily go find them? Once you know who you want to work with, it makes it so simple. I think that's where people get really scattered in their marketing, is not knowing who their ideal client is. And once you know that, then it's really easy actually to go and find them. So clarity would probably be a big compliment that I get, that people walk away going, wow, this isn't as hard as I thought. I know exactly what I need to do to make money in this business.
Awesome. Now, we all know that relationships are critical and crucial in both your personal and your professional life. And you wrote a book called From Fizzle to Sizzle, Four Crucial Tools for Relationship Repair. Now, I believe it's much more on the personal level, but isn't it also true that you have to repair relationships in your business to make it successful?
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's interesting because all the tools that my co-author and I write about in that book, and it is geared towards healing romantic relationships, especially couples who are married and struggling, but all of those same coaching tools in that book I use in my business on a daily basis and with my clients all the time. And it has everything to do with first understanding your relationship with yourself. Who are you and what do you value? Understanding what buttons are being pushed, maybe by clients or prospects that are coming in, and what's the conversation you need to have there. But understanding what fears you might have in reaching out and creating new relationships with people. I think we really can get stuck thinking we're not good enough, we're not big enough, not smart enough. I think you said that, you know, about picking up the phone and calling someone who's bigger than we are, about really understanding what the value is that we bring to any relationship and being proactive. I think one of the hardest lessons I learned as a woman was that to have really great girlfriends took almost as much effort as my marriage, and that I really wanted to step up and be different in my relationships with women because I really value my friendships. And I value my relationships with my client, and it takes honesty, integrity, and it takes being willing to talk through problems and not to avoid conflict. You know, I think we can often run away and hide or be passive-aggressive when there's conflict. So every tool that I use to help people with their personal relationships definitely impacts and helps us grow on the business side as well. As small business owners, Judy, we are who we are. There's no separation, right, between our personal lives and our business lives when we're entrepreneurs.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's just so interesting how people don't realize how valuable relationships truly are, especially when you don't need them in business. You know, when you build a relationship and then all of a sudden, for some reason, you're out of a job or you've, you know, whatever it is, you have all these relationships that you've created that you can reach out to people. And so when you build them without expecting anything in return, it's an amazing experience.
Yeah, and I would say for people that are in corporate and trying to make the leap to becoming an entrepreneur, those relationships are really powerful. They can help support you through that transition.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, I know you have a special free program that you're offering right now that would be great for marketing at any time, but especially right now. Can you give us a little preview and where everybody can log on to look at it and get it?
Yes, thank you so much for that opportunity. So I have a free program. It's a combination of two audios, a couple of hours worth of audio, and a PDF handout workbook as well. And it's all about discovering your unique inner marketing genius. Like I talked about before, we all have areas of marketing that we can excel at when we learn how to tap into them. And it's also about your relationship with money and how your relationship with money might be impacting your business. So in the program is included an assessment that really helps you understand who you are in relationship to money, called the Sacred Money Archetype Assessment. It's really fun and incredibly insightful. It's really sort of changed my life this year, and I'm excited to share it with others. And it's a fun program, and it's perfect for this time of year if you're feeling fearful or worried or scared about really how to maximize your time. It can be really useful to understand where do you need to shift some of your energy and focus your marketing differently. And the simplest way to find it is to, I'll give you the URL. It's bit.ly/genius14. bit.ly/genius, G-E-N-I-U-S, 14.
awesome. And I know that we'll have that up on all social media to make sure that everybody can take advantage of this. So very quickly, because I know we're going to run out of time, which is just so amazing because I thought we just started. What do you want to leave our listeners with today?
To just go do it, to be all in. Business success is really about being fully committed to yourself. And when you have that level of commitment, then the actions flow from there. And if you're not, if you don't have someone in your life who's holding you accountable in your business, go find someone, whoever that is. And just remember, you can sell this time of year. So go make some money and have fun doing it, and happy holidays.
Awesome. You know, thank you so much, Vinette, for joining me today. And next time, we're going to get some of the results from our listeners about marketing and selling at this time of year and see how they can change it going forward in the next, you know, next year. And I would love to have you back on and continue our conversation.
Oh, great. Thank you so much, Judy. I love your work. I'm a big fan. So thanks for having me on your show.
All right. And we'll talk to you soon. And we're going to take a break and thank our sponsor, The Report for Women. It's an important information source about women in business. Check them out at www.thereportforwomen.com and subscribe for free. What I need for you to do is save it into your favorite places, because guess what? It will automatically update on a regular basis. It's a great resource for so many industries, www.thereportforwomen.com. And if you're ready to watch your business create some buzz and to grow and to just go out of the spectrum, just click on our sponsor tab at sellinginaskirtwithjudyholberman.com and just watch your business soar. This is Selling in a Skirt with Judy Holberman on Tough Talk Radio, and we'll be right back.
So you think you're tough enough for Tough Talk with Tony Gambone? Tony knows how to dish it out. Can you take it? Tony Gambone is a communicator, mentor, and entrepreneur whose tough style and generous spirit quickly garnered recognition in many a competitive arena. Now he's bringing his intelligence and knowledge to you as a hard-hitting radio talk show host and thought leader. Tune in and see for yourself. Tough Talk with Tony Gambone. It's a sure thing. To find out more, go to Tough Talk with Tony Gambone.
Live at Choice, where your imagination becomes your reality. If you can imagine it, it's possible. If you can believe it, it's yours. We get it. You're done with the way it is now. You're finished with all the frustration around why you feel stuck and your life isn't working. Imagine what your life would be like if you could have all the answers and see new possibilities. We at Live at Choice choose to make a difference. Live at Choice has developed a proven process and a series of questions that lead participants to the answers they seek, gaining new understanding and self-awareness for both your personal and professional life. If you're ready to get to the life you want, contact us today. Visit liveatchoice.com to get started.
Are you a sales professional stuck in a rut? Are you a sales manager trying to direct women in your company? In her book, Selling in a Skirt, Judy Holberman offers invaluable and proven insights into how gender differences can affect sales outcomes and the tools and strategies to drive real results in today's marketplace. Judy offers a suite of workshops, seminars, and coaching programs that complement her highly successful book. Her 30 years in sales have given her both the knowledge and a sense of humor about the gender differences that we should all understand and embrace instead of feeling unable to communicate. Judy's humorous stories about how men and women sell, manage, recruit, and supervise differently will enlighten you in learning how both genders can support each other's successes in a more productive way. Find out more by going to sellinginaskirt.com.
Welcome back to Selling in a Skirt with Judy Holberman on Tough Talk Radio. You know, every week I remind you about getting access to be profitable and successful. And the easiest way to do that is to connect with us on social media. Simply like us on Facebook on Selling in a Skirt and Tough Talk Radio. And you can be my friend on Facebook at Judy Holberman. And, of course, follow me on Twitter at Selling in a Skirt. And don't forget, you can listen to all my shows on iTunes by simply going to sellinginaskirtwithjudyholberman.com and click on the iTunes icon. Very cool. Okay, so I'm ready, if you're ready, to bring in my next amazing guest, Diane Teagarden. Diane is an author of 4 published books. She lives in Pasadena with her husband and her cat. She's been a print journalist since 1992, writing on a wide range of subjects, including renewable energy, environmental concerns, holistic health, women's issues, and Native spirituality. Her work can be found in the Pasadena Star News, Security Sales Magazine, the Pasadena Weekly, the Solar Flare, the Feral Forest, Earth Lovers Calendar, the Daily Sundial, the West Coast Wellbeing Associated Content, and Health Breakthroughs. Oh, my goodness. Now, she's written a 4 different books, as I said, but one of the books we're going to really talk about with all her work was just written in October 2012, and she put the finishing touches on her second self-help book, Budgeting on a Dime, 10 Steps to Financial Independence, which will aid many people in learning to live within their means while getting their financial picture in good working order. And we're going to be talking about, like I said, all the things we can be doing for the next 7 weeks, and maybe this will help us when we can be doing budgeting on a dime. So welcome to the show, Diane. This is going to be a fun second half of the show.
Thank you, Judy. I've been listening in, and it's just really exciting to hear you and your guests talk. So I'm glad to be one of them.
Well, I'm glad you're here. And if I kept reading your whole entire bio, we'd have no time for you.
So I know.
I'm going to jump right in. You know, you have written on a wide array of topics, and I want to start with your thoughts about this time of year. You know, as we were talking in the beginning of the program, so many people think that they can't spend money on anything other than gifts at this time of year. So should they just hang up their professional hats and wait until January? Is that what entrepreneurs should be thinking about at this time of year?
No, because I think that you have to be able to compartmentalize in your life, and you have to be able to say, okay, this is what I'm doing personally as far as Christmas and you know, whatever holiday that you're dealing with at the time. And you also have to keep yourself going in business, because as you know, if you let the steam down, if you stop momentum, then you'll be at a full stop, and you know, it's very hard to jumpstart yourself in the middle of winter, which it is for most people. I mean, in Pasadena, it never feels like winter, but... It's that wall. So if you hit the wall and you just stop, it's a lot harder than if you continue to, be active in your business. And
yeah,
I thought we
tell people that when they would go on vacation, if they were in sales, they had to have their pipeline filled before they left so that when they came back, they weren't doing exactly what you just said, starting
right.
all over and trying to build up the steam. So, yeah, that makes perfect sense to
right.
have that hard stop.
Right, and I don't think that we should think of it that way, especially entrepreneurs can't afford to think of it that way. If you're working for somebody who's giving you some, time off at whatever time of year, then yes, you should stop completely, forget about work, you know, stick your toes in the sand or wherever you're going and just kick back. But I think that if you're working for yourself and you have many, many hats that, you know, yes, you can certainly maybe juggle a little slower, but you've got to keep... you know, the ball rolling, you've got to keep momentum going or you will end up in a slump. And it's very hard to pick up after that because, unfortunately, there's a physical component, which is we eat a whole lot of, you know, sweets and things like that, and that really robs you of a lot of your energy, whether you think, oh, it's a fast energy, but really what it does is it burns up your real energy. So it's better to, you know, kind of go on the, you know, realize that people out there are going to be spending less money on Christmas, but at least keep your feelers out there, keep your contacts going, keep your promotion steady throughout the year.
Right, but you know, don't you think it's almost like a double-edged sword because people are complaining about money,
mm-hmm.
but they don't think anybody will buy from them at this time of year, so they stop prospecting and selling, but then they can't pay their bills because nobody is buying because they have no money. So isn't it crazy? Isn't it like a double-edged sword? Like, how do you break that cycle?
Well, I'll tell you, I have been, you know, explaining to people for a long time that I think that the meaning of Christmas, without getting into any religious components or just the this time of year, has been lost in the flurry to buy everybody you know, your mailman and your, you know, the postal workers, and it's like, good heavens, we have gone completely over the edge, and I know that TV pushes a lot of that, because if you watch it, you start getting, your chest is tight, and you start getting worried that, oh my goodness, who have I forgotten, and I think that this is a great tip for people out there, especially as you get older, you start to buy things for yourself, so chances are the person that you're, you know, killing yourself to try and buy something for either has 1, 2, 3, or 4 of them or doesn't really want one. So how about this? Time is very valuable, and everyone's got some sort of a a thing that they do very well. And so, for example, I give a great head massage. So how about the next family gathering, you know, give out little coupons, offer to take the, you know, your sister's kids for, you know, a half a day. Offer somebody else a swim lesson if they don't know that. Offer somebody, a little manicure. Offer them, maybe to make a meal when they get stuck. In other words, give a booklet full of things that you're going to do for people as opposed to buy them something. And believe me, a lot of times that's a lot more valuable than, you know, getting them just one more whatever it is that's going to sit on the shelf or they're going to stick in the closet saying, oh my goodness, what do I do with this? I don't even use this thing.
Yeah, I love that because I think that sometimes when it comes, you know, it doesn't have to cost a lot of money. It just has to be something that means something to somebody. You know, you always think about when your kids give you something that says this is good for, you know, two hugs and one kiss for the following week or whatever. And it's always so cute and so nice to have that. So I agree. That's a great idea. That's a great idea.
You know, and so, you can just, you know, everyone's got a computer. You can just make up like a little coupon book. And but think of meaningful things for that person. Say, you know, your sister's always jammed up for time. And half the time, you know, her husband asks her, hey, you pick up the kids today. No, I'm working overtime. Hey, she could call in that little favor, a little, you know, booklet of small favors and say, hey, can you go pick up? Now, it doesn't mean you have to do that if you can't do that. But it is an offer to help with small things that you can do for somebody that'll mean a lot more to them going through the year than one little tchotchke, you know, that they didn't really need.
Absolutely. Okay, so I'm going to go one step further. So we're also, at this time of year, we're invited to multiple holiday events. And you know as well as I do that women don't necessarily want to be seen in the same outfit, and everything is so expensive this time of year. What are your thoughts about dressing elegantly without breaking the bank?
Well, actually, I had put together some tips on how to dress for success for less before we did this show. And so these are just a couple of little ideas. There are places that you can go where you can sort of like borrow a dress. It's sort of like renting a dress for the night. And that way you're not, you know, buying it where you'll probably never use it again. And you can also be seen in various outfits. So that's one way to do it. The other way is, and this is something that, you know, you have to get your head in a new space to try new things. Otherwise, if you say, well, I want to change my life, but I'm not going to do anything different.
Okay, so right.
To me, I'm like, okay, we need to go back to the dictionary and look up the word change, because change means you do something differently. You know, it's painful, but, you know, give it a shot. Okay, estate sales. People will sometimes, you never know, the circumstances under which somebody might pass away. They might have just bought themselves a whole new wardrobe and it's new clothing. I'm not talking about used clothing, tattered clothing, old clothing, out of style clothing. It could be stuff that they didn't even take out of the package yet. So it's worth it to take a little time before the holiday season hits and you're completely blitzed for time and for ideas and for money, and go, and because what people have to do when someone passes away is get rid of every single thing that they own, okay? So they're going to give you the best deal that you've ever had on that particular item. So how about trying estate sales? Judy, are you there?
Okay, I got you. It just, for some reason, it just went dead for a second. But yeah, I love estate sales. I love estate sales. I actually got a great pair of Chanel earrings for like $10.
There you go.
Thought,
see?
Yeah.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. So you never know. Really, it's usually not the people that are related to the person who passed away, so you're not going to find somebody that's crying and, you know, all upset because they have to sell this stuff. It's someone else who's been hired to take care of this part of the end-of-life issues and business. And so it's a very business-like thing. You go, you see, you know, are they your size? Is this something that you would like to wear? And then it's, as you just said, my goodness, Chanel earrings for $10. Boy,
I know.
Out there.
So let me ask you, Diane. So it's the same thing if you're trying to do something professionally, because a lot of women are going back into the workforce and they really don't have, you know, hundreds and hundreds of dollars for an outfit and, of course, thousands of dollars for shoes. So is it the same thing for that as well, not just for holiday events, but also for, you know, professional dressing?
Absolutely. But I do want to caution women. Okay, if you were to look at the top 10 CEOs that happen to be male, if you were to look in their closet, you're not going to see, you know, colors for every season, outfits for every season, a rotating closet because they've got so much they need a whole room to put their clothes in, and they're paid much more than we are. So, hey, why don't we really rethink that whole, you know, idea that we've got to change clothes every single season, every single year. It's a different fashion. That's because the people that are selling us those things make money by selling us that idea, okay? Instead, how about stripping it down to a basic wardrobe of three or four very nice suits that you can put different, blazers with, you can put different scarves with, you could put different blouses with, but the actual suit is classic, okay? I'm saying the people that make the most money don't spend that kind of money on clothing, and yet we're expected to, and we make about 70 cents still to the dollar that a man might make. So rethink the concepts that are making you poor. It's what I call poor thinking. Rethink that and say, hey, wait a minute. Why am I doing this when I can't afford it? How about putting together three really excellent outfits, and then every few months you can add, like I say, a different pair of shoes perhaps, or a different scarf, or a different blouse. But the slacks and the blazer or the suit coat is going to be the same. Or, you know, if you were into skirts and the suit coat, you have to rethink that whole concept of, I've got to buy this. As, you know, I make the guys that interview me laugh because I said, can you imagine men traipsing around in the commercials? Oh, I've got to get my summer wardrobe, my spring wardrobe, my this and that. It's like, they're not going to waste their money on that. And you know what? They make crushingly more than we do.
Right. And it's interesting because men can just really change a tie and it looks like a totally different outfit.
Hello.
You know, and sometimes women have to maybe spend a little bit more on something that's very classic because it'll last forever. And like you said, change the scarf or change your necklace or change something,
Right.
But let's go back. I want to talk to you about money for a minute because I think that money is a major theme, and we could probably do two different hours on this. But in your book, Budgeting on a Dime, 10 Steps to Financial Independence, you help people realize some of their financial goals by creating a budget. And how do women do with this? Because budget is not one of our favorite words.
Well, because they think that they're misunderstanding the word, okay? Budget simply means how you spend money. If you choose to spend all your money and be poor, that's your choice and that's your budget. Mm-hmm. But if you choose to take what you earn and make it fit with what you need, that's also a choice. And that's the mind frame that you have to be in. You shouldn't be forced by outside forces to feel like, oh, well, I've got to have this to be successful and I've got to have this. All you have to do is change your mind about what you need to be successful, and you can back away from wasting a lot of that precious money that you have. The first thing that you've got to do is be very, very honest, because no one's looking over your shoulder, no one's grading this, okay? You're not going to get an A in it or an F in it or whatever. You need to be honest about what exactly you're spending money on. So you need to save your receipts for a little while. Save your bills, save your receipts, whether it's utilities, credit cards, whatever. And then you have to start, you have to put a little time into it, and you have to start organizing, okay, exactly how much do I spend on this particular item? And you will find by yourself, no one's going to be telling you what to do, you will find where your big loophole is where, and for example, I'll just use a personal example. I find out that we spend a lot of money going out to eat. And so that's something that's easy because you know what? I can cook and we can stay home and we can choose to only go out once a week or once a month or once every other month on, for example, take paydays because payday is something where it comes around, it rolls around at the same time. So then you know you're reducing your, food out budget or your restaurant budget down to just two times a month. Believe me, that's going to save you tons of money.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, there's lots of different things you could do. And I was kidding but not kidding about the word budget. Maybe we just have to change it to a different word because I do believe that if you have some guidelines and some structure, it's a little bit easier rather than thinking, oh, my God, I can't spend this and I can't do that and I can't, as opposed to looking at more on the other way that I'm able to do this because I'm doing that.
Exactly. Or say, hey, I will be able to retire and not starve. I will be able to send my kids to college. I will be able to get a car, new car in 3 years. Why? Because you budget. Make it into a good thing instead of a bad thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, so we always hear that you have to be passionate about your business or it's not going to survive. And I read that you're so passionate about writing that you have to do it every single day or you simply will die. That is true passion. So has it always been that way, or did you learn that this was something that you're so passionate about?
No, and I think that that's really part of what passion is. It's sort of like having a passionate relationship. You meet somebody, and you are nuts about them. You're like, this person isn't even attractive. They're not even, you know, this. They're not even any of the things that they told me was supposed to be my ultimate mate. Well, it's the same way with anything that you're truly passionate about. I've met people that they didn't think that they were creative, and then on my Facebook group, Writers, Poets, and Wordmeisters Unite, you know, they say, oh, well, you know, we have a day when I want them to share artwork or sketches, or I didn't say that it had to be theirs. And we have found some of the most clever, some of the most talented people in our group simply because we encourage them in a very kind way to say, hey, just share things that you enjoy. And you know what you enjoy. You don't need to go to a psychiatrist to tell you what you're passionate about. You have it all over your house. It's something you do every day. It's something that you go out of your way for. Any of those things indicate passion. And I remember when I was a child, one of the earliest memories I have was laying in the hallway. You know, we had a bedroom my sister and I shared, and so we had to have lights out at a certain time, but my mom kept the hallway light on so we wouldn't, I don't know, trip going to the restroom or something, you know, whatever. My little brother was scared of the dark, whatever it was. Anyway, so we had the door open, and I remember laying there, and I had one of those big yellow pads, and I was writing stories, writing poems, writing, you know, letters to people. And I would fall asleep, and my mom would make fun of me because she said I would have this indentation in my face where I would lay down on the pencil, right? So, even when I was little, you couldn't keep me from writing. That's how you know what your passion is because you do it naturally and you do it without any prompting.
And that's always the greatest thing. And I think it's sad that some people can't decide what they're passionate about. So maybe we just have to give people a little bit more time to sit themselves down by themselves and sometimes figure it out. But my question is, two questions. One, how can our listeners connect with you? That's my first question because I want to make sure they have a way to get in touch with you.
Okay. If they go to my website, they can find out everything that they ever wanted to know and more about me. It's firewalkerpublications.com. So it's www.firewalkerpublications.com. And that will give them links to my books, links to all my interviews, links to some of the TV interviews that I've had, information on how to get in touch with me, email, anything that they want to know, there's information there on me.
Awesome, and we will have that all over social media. And my second question, quickly, because you know we're going to run out of time, is what do you want to leave our listeners with today? Because you have so many great things and so many strategies and so many tips. So if you could just pick something that you think will resonate with most of our listeners, what would that be?
I think that you can help yourself. I think that whatever you want to do, there are so many books in so many libraries. There are so many wonderful shows like yours, informational shows. There's so much free information on the internet. Help yourself, you know. Take both your hands and take the energy that you give everybody else so freely and help yourself, you know. Mm-hmm. Take a step. Take action. And it's going to lead to another step and another step, and you'll find out pretty soon you're just flying along and you're feeling great and you're accomplishing things and you're living with passion.
Awesome. Well, Diane, this has been so amazing, and I thank you so much for sharing the mic with me because you have, like I said, some great tips, some great ideas, and I want to make sure that we can check back in with you again to hear some more tips.
Oh, you bet. And please, you know, keep me in mind. I used to host a radio show for 3 years, and I know people can drop out at the last minute. So feel free, Judy, to get in contact with me anytime and say, hey, golly, you know, I just found out that tomorrow I'm not going to have a guest. If I have time, I'd be happy to come on with you, and talk a little bit more about specific things people can do with budgeting and help themselves.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, and we will talk to you soon.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye. Now, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, I'm going to wrap up the show with a few more ideas for getting your name out there this holiday season. This is Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on Tough Talk Radio, and we will be right back.
Are you one of those people who deal with issues that life throws at you on a daily basis? Then you need to tune in to Life's Issues to hear Lloyd Rosen get the answers to those nagging problems. Begin to turn your life into that positive journey you've always wanted. You've always had the ability. Now get the information to complete the journey. Tune in every Thursday afternoon at 1:30 p.m. Central Time to hear Lloyd ask the questions that get the answers you are looking for. Lloyd wants to help those that are dealing with life's issues. Check out Lloyd's blog at LloydRosen.com for more information about daily problems.
Do you want to know the secret to building a successful business quickly? It's all about taking action, but not just any action. It takes inspired and consistent action to get profits. Join Michelle Stism, the six-figure results lady, as she asks successful entrepreneurs their profitable secrets every Monday at 2 p.m. Central Time on Take Action, Get Profits with Michelle Stism on the Tough Talk Radio Network. If you're ready to take action and get profits, you can find out more about the show at TakeActionGetProfitsRadio.com. Are you a sales professional stuck in a rut? Are you a sales manager trying to direct women in your company? In her book, Selling in a Skirt, Judy Hoberman offers invaluable and proven insights into how gender differences can affect sales outcomes and the tools and strategies to drive real results in today's marketplace. Judy offers a suite of workshops, seminars, and coaching programs that complement her highly successful book. Her 30 years in sales have given her both the knowledge and a sense of humor about the gender differences that we should all understand and embrace instead of feeling unable to communicate. Judy's humorous stories about how men and women sell, manage, recruit, and supervise differently will enlighten you in learning how both genders can support each other's successes in a more productive way. Find out more by going to sellinginaskirt.com.
Welcome back to Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on Tough Talk Radio. So let's wrap up the show with a few simple suggestions for creating some opportunities for sales this holiday season. Now, we all know how early the holidays begin. Sometimes Christmas decorations aren't even down when the next years are up. Okay, that might be a little bit of an exaggeration, but not by much. So here's a couple of things that you can do to start this holiday season off. First, do you have the ability to have a holiday promotion? And if so, what is it? Or is it on your calendar so you can be organized? Don't forget to include some major shopping holidays like Black Friday and Cyber Monday and Free Shipping Day and Small Business Saturday. Even if you're not the online selling guru, you can incorporate some of those holiday sales into your business. Why couldn't you offer a Cyber Monday or a Small Business Saturday strategy session? Send an email out and offer to the first 10 people to respond to your email. You'd be surprised how much business you can get by thinking outside the box. Next, how about some valuable content for your clients? Content marketing is one of the best ways to show value instead of pitching a sale. Building a relationship with content that may pique your client's interest is a great way to create long-term success. Articles that you send to a client with a quick "saw this and thought about you" is a way to show that you're not only thinking about them, but that you aren't trying to hard sell them. Check out our sponsor, www.theirreportforwomen.com, and there's some of those articles that you can use for content. Remember, building relationships is key. People do business with those they like and trust, and that begins with relationships. Why not attend some events where your target clients are hanging out and get your name and face in front of them? No pressure, no sales, just building relationships when you have some downtime. Remember, businesses don't do business, people do. So being out and about during the holidays or any time of year is good for business. Nothing beats going out and meeting people face-to-face. And during the holidays, there's so many opportunities to reconnect with old friends and for you to make some new ones. So still not sure what to do? Don't be afraid to ask for help. That's why there's coaches and mentors in sales clubs. Coaches have coaches. Don't forget. Invest in yourself and hire a coach. The best thing I ever did. You want to aim for progress, not perfection, and just get started. I thank you all for tuning in every Monday at noon Central, where we share some extraordinary guests, some ideas for your business, and ways to stand out as the amazing women that you are. And make sure you stay connected with us. And remember, women want to be treated equally, not identically. Until next week, this is Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on Tough Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning in to Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman, brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. A special thanks to all of our sponsors. If you'd like to be a sponsor or a guest, please visit toughtalkradionetwork.com.